Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the latest episode of Dualcasting. With me, Adam.
And me, Nick.
So, this is technically episode 4, I believe.
But only the second you'll have heard.
Yeah, and we promised that we wouldn't have been bad, but we were. So we've got to apologise. We both went on holiday. We had it all prepared. We had two prepared, in fact, and then Dropbox decided to not work.
Well, Dropbox lost one of them, and Audacity lost the other. So with a completely new technological setup.
Yeah, we've taken Nick out of the equation. And now it's on my computer.
My laptop.
Yeah, it's your laptop, I suppose. So yeah, so now we're using GoldWave. And Skype now, because we've moved away from each other again, sadly.
Yes.
So we're no longer in the same room. Which, yeah. In fairness, we have computers now, so we can actually look up cards rather than having our awkward like couple of seconds silence while I look it up on my phone.
Yeah.
So anyway, PAX has just happened, and we have Theros spoilers. We're not just a spoilers show, by the way. It's just that the one that you heard was a sort of like a demo, wasn't it, really?
Yeah, to some extent.
So yeah, we're hoping to get away. Well, once Theros spoilers are done, we'll properly get away from spoilers for a while. Until we get more spoilers.
Yay!
So talking of spoilers, we have some new interesting things with Theros. So legendary enchantment artifacts. Mind blowing at that time.
I don't know what's going on.
They're doing things.
Major things.
But so we'll start off with Hammer of Porphyros. Is that the best way? Is that how to say it? I'm going to get better with Greek names as we go on.
Yeah.
So this is one red, legendary enchantment artifact.
What?
It's a rare. Creatures you control have haste.
Okay.
And then
so
it's...
That's like the enchantment part.
So, yeah, that's the enchantment bit. And then it's two, a red... Oh, I didn't even realise that. That's interesting. I never even thought of it as the sort of combining of an enchantment and an artifact in that way. So it's two and a red, tap it, sacrifice a land, and then put a 3/3 colours golem enchantment artifact creature token onto the battlefield. Ah, yeah.
So that's it's so many like things defining that token.
It's
colourless. It's a golem. It's an enchantment. It's an artifact. It's a creature, and it's a token.
Boom. I think this is such a sweet card.
It's pretty good.
Like, okay, last time we had an enchantment type thing that I can think of anyway is Fires of Yavimaya, which was was one, a green, and a red, and it gave all your creatures you control haste, but then you could sacrifice it and give a creature +2/+2 until the end of turn.
Yeah.
But this...
Is it one creature or all creatures?
Just one creature. So it's like a mutagenic growth or something like that.
Yeah.
But, like, this turns all your draws into a live draw if you're, you know, if you're an aggro deck.
Yeah.
And you stall, you know, your mana stalling at this point, you're thinking, oh no, like, you know, I don't need more than 3-4 mana. So you'll just play a land, sacrifice it immediately, you've got a hasty golem thing.
Yeah, 3/3 haste for sort of 3 mana and sacking a land.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's awesome. I think it's really good. I mean, all the ones that... this is a cycle, by the way. So it's a cycle for each colour.
And there's one for each god.
And there's one for each god, so yeah. I was hoping you'd be able to, you know, equip, but, you know, I suppose a Hammer of the Gods.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, you should have, like, can only equip onto the god.
Yeah, that's very true.
If you have Porphyros, it's like, if you also control Hammer of Porphyros, he gets... haste and +2/+2, or something.
You know what I want to see? I want to see an alternate win con in this set.
Well, I have all 5 gods.
Yeah. That'd just be the best. I think it'd be the best, anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on with gods, we have Nilea, God of the Hunt.
See, that reminds me of... Did you ever see the real-life D&D that someone made? Was that an encyclopedia or something? Someone made a real-life...
I think I showed you that one, yeah.
Yeah, a parody D&D rules for, like, using real life. And whenever I see God of the Hunt, it just reminds... In the gods of that, it was Sarah Palin, Goddess of the Hunt.
You do love that.
It got me every time.
It was funny too. Just, yeah. It's, probably can't say some of the things that it said, but I'm sure people can Google.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't even say there's other choices of searching available, because Google is just the best.
Not Bing.
Oh, God.
No one likes Bing.
It feels forced upon. That's my problem. Like, I could deal with it if it wasn't like a search expecting Google, and it's Bing all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, it used to be Yahoo, so, you know. But anyway, so this Nalea, God of the Hunt. So it's three in a green. Prepare yourself for this type. Oh my god, Tamagoyf is going to get so big after this in Modern. Oh, you put one thing in there. Oh look, it's got everything but snow. So this is a legendary enchantment creature type god. It's a mythic, as you expect with a god. And it's just indestructible. But as long as you're... So now it has something called Devotion. So Devotion is for each... mana symbol on permanents you control. So, you know, a white creature would give you 2 devotion to white. So, yeah. Basically, as long as your devotion to green is less than 5, it isn't a creature. Which is pretty crazy. So, it comes out as just a legendary enchantment, and then, obviously, if your thing's high enough, it becomes a 6/6. Oh, and it also gives all creatures you control trample. Other creatures, rather. And for 3 and a green, it says target creature gets +2/+2 until the end of turn. So it slices, it dices.
It does everything.
Yeah, and like even getting your devotion to like 5, that's pretty easy in a mono green deck. I mean, you go turn 1 elf.
Yeah.
You know, turn 2, you play that, you know, the 3/3 green dude? He actually has a purpose now. I mean, how good have you got to get it? Green creature to be before people will play it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then, you know, turn 3 you're hitting the layer. So what you've already got. Actually, yeah, if you get like 2 elves out, I guess. 2, you know, elf, that, God of the Hunt. You can get it turn 3, I'm pretty sure you can, so. Especially as a creature, which is just insane. What are you searching for?
I'm just looking through the spoiler list.
Oh, okay.
I'm spoiling myself for the near future as we're going through the spoilers.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'll have to go solo for a little bit while you work.
I'm done.
Oh, you're done there.
I'm ready.
So, anything to say with Nalea or?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. Like, it does everything you want in green.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it'll make stuff like, what's Colonian Tusker or whatever he's called?
Yeah.
Is it Tusker?
I almost called him Caledonian, and I'm pretty sure that's a kind of Sunny D. So,
Right. I think we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, you can't segue more than Sunny D.
No.
So, there's this really cool new sort of enchantment removal type spell as well, Chained to the Rocks.
Right.
I absolutely adore this. So it's single white, enchantment aura, enchant mountain you control. Which, that's pretty tight already. And then it's, yeah. When it enters the battlefield, exile target creature and opponent controls until Chained to the Rocks leaves the battlefield.
So it's Journey to Nowhere, except you enchant, you can hit. I know, you have to have a mountain as well.
It's Journey to Nowhere, but you need a mountain.
And it's one cheaper. And then technically, I guess it means it's targeting the mountain, so if they can bounce the mountain, they'll get their dude back. So it's
like, I'm pretty, like, I can't see land destruction being a big thing.
Well, I guess it's slightly easier to deal with than Journey, because there's something else you can target.
Yeah, I suppose.
So, whereas to get rid of Journey to Nowhere, you had to have destroy an enchantment, basically. If they can destroy or bounce a mountain, or flicker a mountain or something.
It's when you're sitting with the Hammer of Porphyros and you need to sacrifice that mountain.
To get a dude back.
Get the dude back, but then they get their dude back.
And it is target creature and opponent controls, and I think Journey to Nowhere could target your own dudes.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's slightly obscure, but it might, you know.
It comes up.
It comes up sometimes. But yeah, there were people going, oh no, they're getting like, white's getting a new Swords to Plowshares type effect. And I mean, this is probably as close as they can get, you know, because Path to Exile is the spell. Oh, dear. Sorry about that. Hit the microphone. But it is just the spell.
Yeah.
Like, in modern, it's the reason why Falcon Wrath Aristocrat isn't incredible, so... Ugh. It's just too good. Ugh. The flavour, the Vorthos in me has just gone crazy after this.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
So it's Tuesday,
So basically, one of your creatures gets sacrificed and put into the graveyard.
Yeah.
And it, thankfully, it's instant speed. And then it returns with the other creature.
They do it at the end of their turn.
But it just makes me think of, you know, Disney's Hercules?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know when he goes into the underworld to save the lady.
So you went to Disney, I went Dante.
I know which one I prefer. I mean, yeah, Dante's is a lot more badass.
And he fails.
It's because
of spoilers.
Oh, does he fail? Oh, yeah, he does. Whereas, yeah, Disney does succeed.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like it's a really cool card. I mean, you know, it won't be in competitive, but it can.
But Rise from the Grave is a card in. Limited, usually. It's, like, a reasonable pick.
Yeah, if your bomb gets killed, I mean...
Or Bears does.
Yeah, it's most likely Bears finding more Bears.
Rise from the Grave, it's not... You don't first pick it, usually, but it's perfectly reasonable, and this is the instant speed Rise from the Grave, essentially, except you've also got to have a creature out, which is a slight downside, but it's instant, so same mana cost.
Yeah, and it's really easy to cast as well, so...
It's cool.
And it is very cool. So, next up we have a Mythic... So this is Underworld Cerberus.
Can we just say, the order we're going in is pretty much... It's just the order on the spoiler list we're looking at, which is pretty much random.
Yeah, it's
done by release date, so...
These are the very... These are the most recent.
Don't try and follow by colour or anything like that.
Yeah, so. It's all over the shop. We'll just be doing them as they come out, because we've got quite a few to look at. And then, obviously, we'll start just having just more of a nod to it, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
You know, each time. So, yeah. So, we have the first Mythic. So, Underworld Cerberus. 3 black-red for a 6/6. So, 5 CMC 6/6. The only, you know...
Bye.
You only really see that in green. But,
That's some of the big demons. The, that one demon was a 6/5, wasn't it? 5 mana 1.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Shadowborn.
Ah, yeah. He was over. He was good. So, it can't be blocked except by 3 or more creatures.
So it can't be blocked most of the time.
Because it's got 3 heads. And then cards in graveyards can't be the targets of spells and abilities.
So is that Grand Seal?
Yes, I believe it is. He's got a Grand Seal on him. Because, well, in fairness, he's the Guardian of the Underworld, so I think that's really cool, just from a, you know, flavor dish perspective.
Yeah. And then when it dies, exile it, and each player returns all creature cards from his or her graveyard to his or her hand.
Yeah.
So what's... Oh, once he dies, the gates to the underworld are open, so everyone gets them back.
Yes. So when he dies, exile it, and each player returns all creature cards from his or her graveyard to his or her hand.
That seems legit.
Yeah, it is awesome. So next up, we have something that I'd imagine you would quite like.
It is quite a Nick card.
Like, it's almost Sign and Blood.
It's almost Sign and Blood. But it can't hit them. Which comes up a surprising amount. Like, the more I play it, I reckon I'm getting close to, like, 30% of my games are finished with a Sign and Blood now.
That is a lot of games.
So... Like, with that vampire deck, at least. That might just be, like, anomalous. The last few games I've been playing have been doing that. But it is a valid thing to... It's always an out kind of thing if they're down to 2 life. Especially as that deck deals exclusively in even numbers.
So this mysterious card that we've spoken of is called...
Read the Bones.
Read the Bones.
So it's 2 and a black, sorcery. Scry 2, draw 2 cards, you lose 2 life. So, yeah, you can see why we're saying it's like Sign and Blitz, draw 2 cards, lose 2 life.
They're being very, very careful with these scries, because they don't want to, you know, make something that will break modern.
like preordain.
Yeah.
Which is scary good.
It is awesome. I do. It sucks though, because I've got my two copies, but like, I've got no real use of them in Legacy. So they're just kind of sitting in there in a box in all the decks that they used to be part of.
It's not quite Brainstorm.
Yeah, exactly. Brainstorm's just better. And when I'm having to like be really careful about where to put my Brainstorms in Legacy, like, you know, if I'm just trying to squeeze them in, I'm not going to find room for Preordain.
No.
Or Ponder.
No,
you know.
You have Preordain if you want your Brainstorm 5.
Yeah, exactly. So next
do you,
up,
do you prefer Preordain or Ponder, though?
I am a Ponder man.
Ooh.
I don't know what that says about me.
See, I prefer Preordain.
Because it's Ponders look at the top three.
Yeah.
And then you can put...
You can either rearrange or shuffle.
Yeah.
Whereas Preordain, you can choose to send one to the bottom, put one on top, or both to the bottom.
I think I'm a bit more all or nothing than you, aren't I? Because, I mean, I really like Desperate Ravings.
Yeah.
Whereas you're a Think Twicer.
I do like Think Twice.
I do love me a Desperate Ravings.
When I was playing this weekend with some people, they were getting so annoyed. I was playing a standard Grixis control thing I've got. It's not great, but it was alright. But none of them had... Most of those were the players there were relatively new, so had relatively similar decks, so I was winning quite a lot because I got sort of closer to an actual standard deck. But they were getting so frustrated because there's four Think Twice in it, so obviously I cast Think Twice 8 times. And the amount of card draw and stuff in the deck, I was usually hitting at least 3 of these Think Twice. Because I'm... Obviously, if you've got an opening hand with 2 or 3 land and a Think Twice, I feel pretty safe with it. So I was keeping a lot of hands with Think Twices in, and then, obviously, once you get one Think Twice, it becomes easier to hit another. And so most games, because obviously I'm dragging out the game as well, it's a sort of control-y deck, with a couple of, like, the Ravnica and Jace and so on, and just Think Twice. And every time I cast Think Twice, everyone got just like, oh, another Think Twice! Because they know they're going to see it twice, I'm going to get all the cards.
Yeah, it's so good when your own cards have flashback. Like, I've been discovering it with playing my modern Grixis control, and it's just... Oh. Flashing back's just so powerful.
Yeah. But, I mean, do you reckon Read the Bones could do anything in Standard if there's a control deck, maybe?
Yeah. It's kind of hard to kind of read the power level as...
Yeah, because sometimes Sign in Blood has seen some.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the fact that it's not black-black, that makes it, you know, nice and easy to cop. You know, it depends really if there's sort of a...
Well, like, some of the control decks, like, say, Pat Chapin's Grixis was running a couple of Divination and so on.
Perhaps.
If you run Divination and you're running black, I'd say this is better than Divination.
I would rather have this than Divination. I'd much rather have this.
So... Yeah.
So our next sorcery is Commune with the Gods. So that's one and a green sorcery, and it just says type, so it's obviously been unspoiled so far, the actual type of it, so...
Yeah, it's whether it's... It might not have a type, it might just be a sorcery, but it could be...
It could be, like, sorcery god or, you know, something like that. Or, like, a theory, I don't know. But anyway, reveal the top 5 cards of your library. You may put a creature or enchantment card from among them into your hand and put the rest into your graveyard. So this is in green, and this is a card advantage... type thing.
Yeah.
Well, it's card selection, probably.
Yeah, it's sort of, it's selection, and then it's also to some extent similar to, like, Tracker's Instincts or Mulch.
Yeah, and, yeah, all those sort of things. Grizzly Salvage, it's in that sort of band of things, isn't it?
Keeping the slight graveyard things going.
You always have to have them. I quite like Mulch, though, I think Mulch is very cool.
Yeah.
So, Minotaurs are a thing, by the way?
They are a thing.
So the price of Didgeridoo is just going to skyrocket.
What is that?
Didgeridoo.
Yeah.
I mean, that card is OP. I mean, instant speed Minotaurs.
I mean, I don't consider something a proper tribe until it's got a lord.
And now they have, so do you want to do the honours?
I will do the Rageblood Shaman. It's one red for a 2/3 Minotaur Shaman. So... Sort of usual Lord stats. Usually they're 2/2, so this is sort of slightly higher. It's got Trample, which is cool. And other Minotaurs you control get +1/+1, and Trample.
So all the Minotaurs Trample.
He seems pretty solid. Like, as Lords go, he's a pretty decent one.
Yeah,
he's not like insane. He's not like, say, you know, Lord of Atlantis or
Knight Exemplar or something crazy.
Yeah, but
did you read
it? In a lot of like the three mana lords, it seems above the curve because it's a 2/3 for a star, and most of them are 2/2s. It's got a relevant native ability, and it gives +1 and another relevant ability to all your Minotaurs. Because presumably, at least some Minotaurs are going to be fairly large.
As a Minotaur, I expect it. Not as a Minotaur. I am not a Minotaur.
What are you not saying?
I've hidden it for all these years.
Yeah, so he seems pretty cool.
Yeah, I like him. He passes the vanilla test, so...
Yeah, he seems fine. So, I mean, do you go all in Minotaurs if you open him in draft?
I haven't seen any more. I've read a little.
I want to go all in Minotaurs.
I've looked at the. In fairness, it'll probably be in Gruul, which they are quite fun colours to play.
I reckon they're either in Gruul or maybe Jund. Because we saw a couple of black Minotaurs in.
Oh, yeah, the dead ones. They were 2/3 as well. Perhaps the standard for a Minotaur is 2/3.
Maybe.
They eat zombies and wolves.
Yeah.
So next up we have the classic variant of Unsummon.
Yeah.
Which is always 1 CMC higher than Unsummon as well. So it's Borgia's End. So 1 and a blue, instant. Return target creature to its hand and scry 1.
That seems fine. I'd rather have Unsummon.
Yeah, I mean, thing is, they tag scry onto things and make it a little bit more expensive. And... it's just not quite the same effect as, you know, when they just tag life, like a life gain property onto something, it makes it good.
Yeah.
Like Lightning Helix is amazing just because they've tagged gain 3 life on the end of it.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like they're trying to do this with Scry, but it's just not as...
Well, I think the thing is, though, if it said Scry 2...
Oh, that'd be incredible, though.
The problem is, I don't find... Scry 1, for me, isn't great. Like, say, when... Viscera Seer triggers, if you're not just using it as purely for the sacrifice. Because sometimes, say, in the Vamps deck, I'll sacrifice a Blood Ghost just to get a Scry 1 because I know I can just play it with a land and have haste or whatever. The Scry 1 is such a minor thing because you have nothing to compare it to. It's, do you value this card better than a random card? So basically, is it a land or a 1 drop?
Yeah.
So then it stays on top most of the time. You know, is it? I mean, yeah, and that is an effect. It's not. It's a non-zero bonus.
Yeah, it's basically, do you want a land or not?
Well, yeah. Well, it's, if there's a land on top, do you still want it?
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem. Like Scry 2 is much bigger because you're looking at two cards. You can change the order.
Scry 1 is great for aggro decks, though. I mean, we're thinking of it in just in sort of more controlling way, aren't we?
Well, no, but like, say, my Vampires is an aggro deck.
Yeah.
And I'm getting the Scry 1. And it's not bad. Like, I will still do it when I can. It's still better than not doing it. But it is surprisingly minor, I think. Compared to when, you know, casting Preordain.
Yeah.
And that's still only Scry 2. Or even Serum Visions, which isn't great. Getting a Scry 2.
It does frustrate me that Serum Visions is like... It's between that and Sleight of Hand.
Yeah.
As the blue, single blue card selection tool.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, the difference between Scry 1 and 2 is so huge. Like, Scry 2 to 3, obviously 3 is better.
It's less of a jump, though.
But, yeah, I'd say it's less of a jump.
But it's the whole thing of, like, it's not double anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's obviously a lower percentage, but I think, I reckon it feels to me like it's more than that.
Yeah.
The ability to be able to say, to change the order of a card as opposed to just, do I want it or not?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you might still want a land, but you really need a removal spell this turn.
Yeah.
Or you really want to play another creature, but you do still think you need another land. Being able to say, well, I'll take the creature this turn and the land next turn. I'll take the removal spell now and send that land to the bottom, because I don't want it. And, yeah, being able to dig twice as far and being able to sort of manipulate the top of it just that little bit more. Because, yeah, because when you've got three, you can't do anything else. You can still only change order, send to the bottom. Whereas with Scry 1, it's either leave it or send to the bottom.
Hmm.
Anyway, that's enough about Scry.
That's a fair point. So, next up, we have a pretty big thing.
Yeah.
Especially with the new legendary rule, this is going to be the mana accelerant of choice, I'm guessing. So,
it's
this is the legendary land at rare. Nykthos, Shrine to Nyx. So tap, so tap it to add a colourless, or pay two and tap it. You get to choose a colour and add mana, add to your mana pool an amount of mana that colour equals. Basically, choose a colour, however many mana symbols of that colour.
That seems
colour.
A really clunky wording.
Yeah, like, you just literally need to say, count how many symbols are on your cards.
Why isn't it just add mana to your... Well, I think the thing is because they've said add to your mana pool an amount of mana of that colour. Wouldn't add mana of that colour to your mana pool?
I don't know what happened there. Devotion can... It's like your devotion, which is a bit strange.
Yeah.
It makes it feel more of a game. Right? I mean, I know it's a game.
We've spoken about devotion, haven't we, with the green one?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, this looks like pretty good if you're playing a monocolored or
commander. So, one color commanders, you know, monocolored commanders. It's just gonna be awesome.
Well, yeah. Anything like that. That seems fine. And
when pre-orders start coming in on the UK, I'm like, if I can get it for, I reckon about £6 each, I'll pick them up happily.
Yeah, and especially with how many, like, just. Devotion, again, will be bigger as there's more permanent stuff with a lot of enchantments about.
That's very true, yeah.
Stuff, enchantments are permanents which have colours. So, especially if there's all these two-coloured legendary enchantment artifact things, just getting one of them out, you've immediately got Devotion too. So, at that point, you kind of, if you have anything else of a symbol, you're breaking even with the Shrine to Nyx.
It does...
Even though it says two, you do have to remember it's tapping itself, so it's like three mana.
Oh, it does feel good, basically, guessing the devotion mechanic.
Yeah.
I mean, we all kind of saw it happen, because what they always do is they try and teach us things, don't they, each set?
Yeah.
So, like, Mirrored Scars, that taught us that it's great when creatures attack together in a team. And then we had M13, which had a sort of exalted sub, you know, sort of feel to it. Where it's going, actually, you don't always need to attack with everything.
Well, and then if you look at M12, taught you to play creatures after combat with Bloodfest.
Yep, and then Ravnica taught us that mixing up your colours can give you good things. And now this is teaching us that monocoloured... Yeah, it's just like, hey, remember, there's monocolours as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we did pretty well, because between us we guessed Devotion and enchantment creatures, and the gods being enchantments.
Yeah, pretty close.
So we guess pretty much everything major.
Yeah, there's like zero chance of getting monstrosity, which... it's a bit of a monstrosity of a rule.
Yeah, I did sort of think Scry might be coming back. I didn't sort of know. I was more confident with the other ones, but I had a slight inkling with Scry.
It's like, I was thinking to myself, I was just like, if they had a rule called heroic, that, you know, whenever there's... No. So yeah, I don't like... You know what? We're going to segue this. Monstrosity is a bit of a mess of a rule, though.
Yeah.
Because they don't like us having things that causes us to have to remember.
But then they've done this.
And this does exactly this.
Not the captors, but they can get moved.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're just waiting for someone to go, bio shift on my monstrous thing, and then they think it becomes unmonstrous, they can monstrous again. It's like, yeah. No, that's not how it works.
And it's also stuff like, because there's not anything physical on it, remembering with, like, flickers and stuff, because flickering would make it stop being monstrous, because the card gets a hard reset.
Yeah, it's just a new thing.
You wouldn't lose the counters. Yeah, I think flickering is more likely than bio shift, but it's the same sort of argument. Except flickering... Mm. Would make it unmonstrous, whereas Bioshift doesn't. But yeah, visually, they have the same effects.
I came up with an idea, actually, to solve these sort of issues, where, you know the tip card at the back of every
pack? Yeah.
You know, you can get... you know when you use those stamp-type things to create perforations, so you can just poke things out?
Yeah.
Yeah, just create, like, little tokens, so one side could be monstrous, the other side could say detain, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, the set that it's relevant to, or whatever. So when it was poison, you could get little circles that were poison counters, or -1/-1s.
Yeah.
Just things to help you play Magic.
Yeah, could be.
But yeah. We've segued a bit anyway.
Yeah.
So, okay. Next up we have another Mythic, and this is Elspeth, Sun's Champion. Okay. The biggest, fattest White Plains Walker, I think, that's been printed.
Bigger than an Alder Jani?
Yes, I think it was 5 Johnny Golden.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to search this, otherwise it would annoy me.
Hey, well, I'll talk about what she does. She comes in with 4 loyalty, so she's 4 white, so 6 CMC, which is why we're saying he thinks she's bigger than Ajani.
Yeah, she is.
It's been confirmed she is bigger than Ajani. Her plus 1 is put 3 1-1 white soldier creatures onto the battlefield. Token, sorry. Minus 3 is destroy all creatures with power 4 or greater, so Intrepid Hero, except on everything. And minus 7, you get an emblem with creatures you control get +2/+2 and have flying. What's your verdict on this?
Yeah, it's very interesting, isn't it? Like, I mean, she's got, you know, she can come out and just sort of wrath all the small things.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they've got big creatures without haste, then her
things.
+1.
Just want to clarify. What's she wraths all the big things, it's 4 or greater.
Oh, it is. Ah, okay. Sorry, I read that totally wrong. I thought she destroyed the... It makes more sense with her wrathing the big things, because she's meant to slay monsters now. Okay. Yeah, I think she's really cool. Like, it'll be interesting, I guess, if control's a thing. You'll end up having Elspeth versus Elspeth fights.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know, I'm a little underwhelmed.
3-1-1 soldiers creatures,
that is something... And she costs 6, but I think the thing is she costs 6 mana. Like, the ultimate for a 6 mana planeswalker. Like, you look at the ultimates on some other planeswalkers, they just outright win the game. Like,
I suppose with hers you kind of make the assumption that, you know, from using her plus, you know, they're thinking you've potentially got 9-1-1 soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah, you compare that to, like, the emblem that, what is it, Domri Ride's emblem, where it gives them, like, a Chroma's Memorial?
Yeah, I suppose.
And he's a 3 mana planeswalker. This should be twice as good.
Does she Mighty Leap ever? She sort of, it's like a mini leap.
Yeah. Well, it's... I don't know. I think it's... The plus 1's insane. Like, that plus 1 is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The minus 3, like, you use it... I think the problem is that they're just not going to play creatures with power 4 or greater once it's out, or like once you've used it once, kind of thing. And I guess there's sort of threat of activation rules there, not doing anything, so it's kind of preventing. But like generally, you're going to play that, use the minus 3 to get rid of all the big things, then try and just take over with the 1/1s. I guess most of the time.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think against an aggro deck, it's too little too late. Because, yeah, you can make the 3-1-1 sort of jump blockers or whatever.
Yeah, it's very dependent on whether we get a Wrath of God type effect.
Yeah, I think if there's a decent Wrath in white, or even in black, you can go... I think if there's a decent Wrath in black or white, then there's a pretty solid Orzhov-y, maybe Esper controllers. Because, you know, you've still got stuff like Far and Away that's so good. I think there's a decent... You know, Esper did pretty well at the Pro Tour where it was blocked. Which one was that? Whichever Pro Tour Dragon's Maze that was blocked. Esper Control was one of the best lists there. It didn't win, but it put up some good results. And I think, yeah, you wouldn't be unhappy running one or two of these, but I think it's... For me, mainly the ultimate is just so underwhelming. You know, +2/+2 and flying is great. But Planeswalker Ultimate, especially on a 6 mana one, should outright win the game as it is. And that just doesn't win the game.
Yeah.
So anyway, next card
is
Thoughtseize.
Yay! 118, we will remember.
Yes. So, it's sort of the king of modern.
It's the 7th most played card in Legacy, I read earlier.
In Legacy as well, yeah.
The 8th most played in modern. Been keeping combo under control for since it was printed.
Yeah, it's probably the best variant of Duress they've printed. Well, it is the best variant of Duress they've printed.
It's awesome.
Yeah. You can't target yourself.
How can you make it better?
You don't lose 2 life.
like, you know, within reason. Like, I can't think of a way that they could make a best... Like, life is a resource.
Yeah.
And I just can't think of a way that you can improve it. Like, I can't think of a better one.
Do you think it would be better if it said you lose 4 life, but it could be land?
That's nasty.
Would you be willing to pay 4 life?
Yes, I would. If they keep a risky hand and I do that to them and just...
You can get rid of the one lander.
You can cripple them so much. Oh.
But if you're not hitting a land, you're paying an extra 2 life. And, you know, when you do it twice, that's 8 life.
That is disgusting. That would be horrible.
That's the only way I think you could reasonably make
it. I'd take 5 life. I'd take a quarter of my life if I could cause that pain to someone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got quite a sweet artwork, by the way, the new one.
Yeah, it's quite cool. I think I still prefer the old fairy going in by the ear.
Yeah, that is a pretty sort of iconic art.
But yeah, there was obviously heavy speculation about it being there when it wasn't printed in Modern Masters, and then everyone was like, ah, it's alright, it'll be an M14, and then
it wasn't. Then we got like some treacherous dead or something like that, and everyone was like,
yeah.
But it's meant to be Thorsies. Thankfully.
I mean, I think it was pretty clear before that when Duress was in the set, they weren't going to give us Thorsies in the same set as Duress.
Yeah, that's very true.
But yeah, I mean, this is...
Oh, it's at Rare, by the way. It's at Rare.
Yeah. Which I mean, Wizards are supposed to say they don't care about the secondary market, and printing Thoughtseize at Rare is clearly a nod to that.
Most definitely.
Because all of the others variants of this, Duress, Inquisition of Kozilek was uncommon, Distress was uncommon, Despise was uncommon. All of these variants were all at uncommon, and Duress might be a common, actually. Dress itself, but all the sort of fancy variants are uncommon. And to print, and Thoughtseize originally was a common, uncommon, was it not?
Yes, it was.
So I think upping it to Rare is clearly them saying, well, it is worth a lot of money.
They're probably going to put it under the guise, though, that they just go, oh, well, it's to stop the limited, you know, limited being too crazy with everyone discarding.
Yeah, but it's like.
That's what they'll, I mean, that's what they'll use, come on.
Sorry?
That's what they'll use, that'll be their excuse.
Is it true? I guess, like, the reason you don't play Duress all the time is because you have less spells in limited, like, less non-creature spells in limited. Mm-hmm. I guess.
Hmm. I do love silence.
Next card, I know that episode didn't go up, did it? Polychronos, we've seen him for a while.
Yeah, he's been about, so...
Can't be able to explain him, everyone's going to have read him, he's been out ages.
Yeah, he has. More interestingly is Cavern Lampad, so it's only a common, and it's 3 and a black for a 2-2 with Intimidate. So it doesn't pass the, you know, the creature test.
Not really.
It's an enchantment creature. Yes, it has Bestow, so... If you cast this card for its bestow cost, it's an aura spell with enchant creature. It becomes a creature again if it's not attached to a creature. Wait a second. So, if they destroy the creature with it on, it'll fall off and become a creature.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, mate. They're really trying to make enchantments playable by removing the downside.
So, enchanted creature gets +2/+2 and intimidate. So, it gets the ability of the Cavern Lampad.
I think if they... can exile or flicker or bounce the creature that you're when you target it, though, I think it would still go to graveyard.
Okay. Yeah, because you're casting it as an aura spell, I guess.
Yeah, casting it as an aura, so the bestow's like not. It's not falling off.
It does say it becomes a creature again if it's not attached. It's hard to say.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's because it's not having a target, so it's fizzling rather than. Because when an aura goes to the graveyard, it's not... Because, say, Rancor goes to the graveyard.
I do love it when I get a Rancor to go to the graveyard.
Yeah, and stay there.
Good riddance.
Because the Rancor goes to the graveyard if you can bounce a guy because it fizzles because it doesn't have a target.
Yeah.
So I guess this would work in the same similar way. Mm-hmm. So you could still get rid of it that way. But yeah, it's still... I think Bestow could be a pretty sort of...
They print that one broken Bestow card.
...of enchantments.
There's one good bestow card. It'll be crazy.
Yeah. Thank God Invisible Stalker's leaving.
It's like currently I'm a bit miffed because my Hexproof Poison Auras deck for Modern. I ordered some Keen Sense expecting them to rise, and the guy on eBay, you know, it's mysteriously not shown up sort of thing.
Right.
Because I bought them for like $2 for four, whereas now they're worth, you know, $4 for one.
Yeah.
So I've had to get the eBay corpse on them.
Negative feedback.
Well, it's I want the darn card.
So. Okay, and then our next card is Acroan Crusader.
Oh. Okay, so this has been our PAX spoilers.
Yeah, there was a couple more, but this is most of them.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we'll cover them in due time. So
we have to call it for technical difficulty reasons.
Yeah, we're still learning.
Still learning.
Gradually. Anyway,
we hope you've enjoyed episode
2/4.
I think we're just going to have to say we're only numbering episodes that actually get uploaded because it's going to get too confusing.
Yeah, but we'll put it in brackets.
Okay, so thanks for listening, and remember, other podcasts are available. That didn't work.
No, it didn't.
Shall I just say the line again? Other podcasts are available. No, you can't join in.
What?
It just sounds weird.
Oh, so we're allowed to say dual casting, but we're not allowed to say that.
That's because that in itself is about, like, splitting it.
Ugh. The cheese is strong.
Third time's the charm. And remember, other podcasts are available.
I was really tempted to come in right then.